Corinthians chapter 2. This is number 11 in the Powers of the World to Come series. So I'll catch you up, bring you up to speed quickly. 1 Corinthians 2 has been our foundation. You know, I use my phone. I have one of the bigger, what do they call that? I mean, I know it's an iPhone, but what's the model when they're bigger? S plus, okay? Yeah, well, the plus, the bigger one. And at first I thought, you know, it's kind of big to put in your pocket. So I just went out and got bigger pockets. But I use my phone. I have the Bible on it. I have Greek and Hebrew lexicons on here. I have all different versions of the Bible on here. And gosh, I mean, I've got a lot of material on here that I can use. But I find myself, if I'm just using it, and I don't grab my actual hard copy of the word that I preach out of, and I have 50, 60 Bibles at the house. We've got a lot of Bibles, okay? Kind of like tools of the trade, you know what I mean? But anyway, I find myself, though, even if I'm using an app that has the Bible, this one here, I don't know why that's happening today. Is it me, you think? Well, I find myself, if I'm using an app, this one you can touch on it, and this one cost, I don't know, $3 or $4, and pull up every Greek and Hebrew word, backgrounds. You can break it down from the root, the stems, and so on and so forth, and it's helpful. But I find myself, if I'm not careful, when I click back to go to something else, to go, oh, I've got an email. Oh, somebody just posted, is messaging me on Facebook. Or, oh, somebody has sent me a text. Come on, you hear where I'm coming from? You can get distracted pretty quick. Now, I'm not coming down on you using your phones. Not at all, because I do it. But I just think that in order to avoid distractions, you need to be sure and have a hard copy that you have near. Amen? Okay? And I think that, you know, there's a reason for that. And even with that, if you're not careful, if you sit your Bible down on the table a little too close to the television remote, it could be a temptation because something's on. You know, so you need to, at some point, have some time where you just get alone and get quiet and don't let interruptions happen. You've heard the old story when a guy was sitting down to pray, or a mama or a dad, and the children start in, and there's running around, screaming in the house, and finally the parent says, "Shut up, I'm praying," you know. Yeah, now you got to go back to square one, amen? You little, blah, 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 I'm praying, will you just shut up, I'm praying. No. If you need to go outside and let the kids stay inside while you go out and walk around the yard, you know, you need to get alone at some point. We'd chase my mom down. She could never get alone when we were growing up. Yeah, it's crazy. We came home one day after school and walk in the door. You know, you didn't lock your doors. You kidding me? Lock your doors? You just walk in. Mom! Mom! Johnny, you go upstairs. I'll go downstairs. Mom, we were two little guys. You know, we had just come home. I don't know where everyone else was. And we couldn't find Mom. We were screaming, Mom, looking in the closets, looking. And finally, we go downstairs in the basement. You know, you all have basements in Wisconsin. And I'll never forget the day we go down there. Mom, we're looking around. Mom, we're panicking now. We're little kids, you know. Mom deserted us, you know. I look, she's hiding under the stairs. You thought that was funny. You see, I didn't forget that, you know. She was trying to get alone. She wanted a little peace and quiet. You know, when we were little kids, she'd go to the bathroom. We'd be opening the door. Huh? What are you doing in there? You know. Every one of you that have children know exactly what I'm talking about. And now it may be a dog or a cat that doesn't leave you alone, you know. Golly. Come on, 1 Corinthians 2. Look at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration. We found out last week that word demonstration literally meant proof. Demonstration or proof of the Spirit and of power, or his inherent power. Dunamis is the word there. So that, verse 5, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Ooh. My. Paul was saying, I want you to understand, it's not my eloquent speech, it's not my oratorical abilities, it's not my good looks, it's not this, it's not that, it's not all the education I have or lack thereof, it's not that. It needs to be that your faith is in the power of God, not in me. Don't put the minister on a pedestal. Now, there's a balance here between respect and not putting him or her on a pedestal. If you put somebody on a pedestal, they're sure to come tumbling down. But then on the other hand, you're not to go, that's my buddy Dan. I may be your buddy. I may, you know, and I do. I love everybody in this church body dearly. I really do. But there is a place of respect in order to receive from the office. So you have to balance that out. I have a dentist friend of mine, an eye doctor friend of mine, different doctors that are friends of mine. When I go to their office, even though I know them well, I call them doctor. And why is that? It's because they are functioning in their office at the time. And in order to receive in a professional manner on the level of their office, I need to respect that office. So I'll say doctor, even though outside of there, I could call him by his first name and have, and it really wouldn't matter. And he, I'm sure, wouldn't even care if I called him by his first name. But some folks pull the respect for the office, consequently the ability to receive and glean from that office, when they try to pull it down to a level of where they're at, and the office should be elevated, not the person. Paul, remember, talked about elevating his office. He does. He elevates the office, not himself. And here he's not elevating himself. He's elevating what the power of God can and will do. And he wants the people's faith to be in that, not in him. But remember, there's always a balance to these things. That doesn't mean you can show disrespect to the pastor. I had a young man in the church one day, and their family was friends of our family. I've known him a long time. And he came up to me and he said, "Hey, Danny boy." Now, yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny, but his grandfather was standing within earshot. I thought he was going to tear that little boy's head off. I mean, he's like, "You don't talk with that kind of disrespect." And I mean, I was like, "I'm glad you said something, because I would have had to say something." I mean, he was about 12, 13 years old. And he said, "That is disrespectful, and you apologize right now." "I'm sorry." I said, "Well, you know, that is my name. I was a boy at one time. I'm a man now. But, you know, there is a proper way to speak to the minister." Amen. And I don't walk around demanding that. But if you want to receive from the office, you need to respect the office. Right? So if you want to call me Dan, I'm all right with that. you probably won't receive a whole lot from Dan, because Dan's not the one that you want to receive from. You want to receive from the Lord, but the office needs to be at the place where you say, I'm going to tap into that office and that anointing of the office. There's the difference. Amen. So we still need a demonstration of the Spirit and of power today. We talked about three different steps to a miracle. And let's just go over them right quick. Number one was you have to hear from God, right? You need to hear from God. Number two, you need to do whatever he tells you to do. Do what he says. And I made a little note, a footnote here that I want to expound upon just briefly. You cannot limit him in what he could tell you. When I tell you that you need to, number one, hear from God, number two, do what he says. And some people go, I just don't know what he could say to me or would tell me. I'm trying to hear what he says, but I don't know what he's saying. Well, that tells me you're not shutting down the things, putting them aside and getting quiet enough in order to hear his voice, number one. But number two, don't limit what he can tell you. It could be something as simple as you need to forgive so-and-so. Right? You, in order to receive a miracle, need to hear from the Lord. You know, it's interesting about the Lord. He's not going to move on to something else until you do the last thing he told you to do. What was the last thing he told you to do that you can remember? Well, you know, I was supposed to write a letter to this person and share Christ with them. Or I was supposed to go over and witness Christ to my neighbor. I was supposed to do this, do that. I was supposed to give this to that person. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not obeying the last thing that he told you to do, hey, he doesn't forget what he tells you to do. A lot of times people like, well, I heard that. I think I was supposed to do that. Well, let's just go on. And they're wanting the next thing that's a little bit more convenient for them and a little bit more pleasing to them to do, a little easier or something. But the Lord is still waiting for you to go back and do what you're supposed to have done a long time ago. Can I hear an amen? And that's serious. Because guess what? He doesn't forget what he wanted you and still wants you to do. So what's he going to tell you? He says, well, you know, you need to hear from God and then do what he says. I don't know what he's telling me to do. It could be something as simple as you need to forgive that individual. You're still holding a grudge against so-and-so. Well, I thought I forgave him. Guess what? He's going to talk to you about that stuff because those are the types of things that will stop the power of God from flowing in your life. Anything that is a robber of the power of God from you, any kind of sin, anything that could be sinful that you are yet to deal with, he will convict you of it. Amen. But let's not limit it to sin. It could be that You've done what he told you to do. You repented of what you needed to repent of and so on. And yet there's this little act of you going down and buying this little thing and giving it to somebody because the Lord told you to go do that. I mean, it can be something very simple. Don't look for the sky to open up and the Lord to have some big, profound something that if you'll do this, you'll get your miracle. I suppose it could be that way, but most of the time, it's not. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine, the scripture says. It's the little things that you leave undone that can cost you. I don't want to get into works. Nobody said to get into works. But you need to have corresponding actions that go along with your faith. Can I hear an amen? All right, so the third thing was then he does the miracle. Hear from God, number one, do what he says, number two. It's so simple. If he tells you to do something, you've heard his voice, he tells you to do something, do it, he'll do the other. So don't be guilty of working faith principles through reason. That was another thing that we covered. Don't be guilty of working faith principles through reason. The first thing to do is to hear from the Lord regarding the situation. Not, listen to this, is very important. The first thing to do is to hear from the Lord regarding your situation. Not start in on a path of prayer that may or may not be the path to take. The first thing when you're going to believe God for something is you need to hear from the Lord regarding this. Faith comes by hearing. We talked about it last week, Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word that is used in Greek for the word, do you all remember what it was? Was it logos or was it rhema? It's rhema. Logos is that book you're holding in your lap. That's the logos, or the logos, you might say, but it's logos. That's the written word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word, the rhema word from the lips of God. And when you hear that, faith comes. Now you have faith when you heard what he told you to do. Now, you need to be getting in the Word. You need to be hearing the Word. You need to be reading the Word. You need to be studying the Word. You need to be speaking the Word. You need to be doing all that with the Word. It's vital. It's absolutely vital. You need to be in the Word. Amen? But when it talks about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, it's talking about the rhema word of God, the spoken word of God. So here's what happens a lot of times. This is kind of the way it plays out. So you're needing money. Your finances are down. So the first thought that you have may be, well, if I sold this, right? You ever had that thought? When you were short on money, you needed some. Well, I could sell that. Come on, everybody's probably had that thought before. Or number two, maybe I'll work more hours next week, right? Or I'll go get another job. Let me tell you something right off the bat. When those thoughts hit you, don't do that right away. That may or may not be what God wants you to do. So many times people take it upon themselves, and the title of the message today is Not Your Inclination. So many times people take it upon themselves, they have an inclination to do something, and they think, they jump on it, and they try all they can in the natural before they ever stop and try to hear the voice of God. Now, he may tell you to sell something. He may tell you to get rid of that, and so-and-so is looking for, and God can bless that, and God can do that. But that should not be your first move. Your first move should be, Lord, what do you want me to do? That should always be the first move. Okay? So, I think many times we get, you know, we just get the cart and in front of the horse, and we get going and moving and pushing in a direction that God never ordained for us to do. Because the natural man always tries to solve things without talking to the Lord. I'm smart enough. I've been down this road before. I have all these years of experience. I can blah, 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 blah. I've done this before. I've seen it. You can get in trouble doing that. Because as sure as you think that you're going to know how to go about it and you step out on that, that's not what the Lord said to do. David inquired of the Lord regarding any time he had to go into battle. Did you remember read that in the Word? And David inquired of the Lord. What does that mean? He got quiet and listened. He asked him, what do you want me to do here? And the temptation would be, well, I've gone into battle. We've done this. We've used this formation. We moved in over here, and we flanked over here with this troop over here and a battalion over here, and we did this, and we crushed the enemy. Let's do it again. Maybe or maybe not. That's the way to go about it. It may not always be the same course of action that you are to take. All right. Not your inclinations. Did I tell you there's an S on that? Inclinations. So then once you do hear from him, you get alone and you get quiet with the Lord. You hear that rhema word. Once you do hear from him, he may give you a scripture. He may tell you this is what you need to do. You need to go and do this. You need to approach this person. You need to go over here. Then you begin to apply the faith principles, but now you're applying them with a revelation of what you've heard from God. And there's a difference between applying the faith principles like confessing the word, okay, making the confession of the word, and speaking that, binding the devil, loosing the angels of God, go out on your behalf. All those things that we do, that we talk about, you know, you speak it with your mouth, you believe it in your heart, and it'll come to pass. Jesus said that, yes. But it's always been based on whenever Jesus had that happen, he'd speak something and it would come to pass. It was always predicated by, I'm only going to do what I hear the Father tell me to do. So if we're doing something the Father didn't tell us to do, you can confess until your lips turn blue, and it's not going to change the situation. Because he has another means, another way that he wants you to go about doing that. And there's always going to be a trigger point to release the anointing of God. There's always going to be a special something that God will use that will be the releasal point for his power to flow in that situation. And if you automatically think it's going to be this way every time, you're going to get in trouble doing that. So I would take some time to ask the Lord. Now, there are general covenant rights that you and I have. I talked about them before. We have a covenant right to walk in divine health. That's a right. But just how he wants to manifest health in your body will be peculiar to you. And God may want you to do this. He may say your diet has too much of this in it or not enough of this in it. Or here's another thing you need to do. You need to start doing this. This particular exercise, this particular activity, corresponding actions that go along with your faith come from hearing from the Lord. Amen. So the whole key in that is getting alone and getting quiet enough to hear from him. Amen. See, if you begin confessing the word and binding and loosing and doing all those faith things that we know to do, after you've spent time alone with the Lord and hear his voice on the situation, then that will work. Do you hear me? There's no such thing as a faith failure. Well, that was a faith failure. They put their faith out and that person died. There's no such thing as a faith failure. When you're really in faith, it works. And the problem's not God, the problem's us. The problem is us hearing from him and doing what he says to do. It's just like before, I don't know why, but the Lord said have them stand up and bring their offerings. I don't know why. Because I had you yesterday to have you sit down, right? And the Lord said, I told you to bring them up here. Now that can be such a simple little thing, but you need to cultivate your hearing, so that you're sensitive to that, even that little thing. I told you to go down that street, not this street. I've had the Lord tell me that already, and I'm like, why? Sometimes it's evident and obvious, other times it's not. Some of you have told me before, you know, when you just felt in your heart you're supposed to take this way home, and turns out there was a huge traffic jam and an accident, a bad accident on this road that you normally would have taken home, right? Somebody was just telling me that not too long ago in the church. I forget now who it was. But the fact of the matter is, listen, one night we had an activity, and this was at the building at 1101. Was that 1101 South Lowry? That's where we were at, where the Salvation Army has that building now. It was a big old 10,000 square foot building that we were in, and kind of tucked away in the back corner of Stillwater where nobody could find us. And that was right at the time when we bought this land out here and we're beginning construction on the building and all that. And I'll never forget, I was over there one night and there was some activity going on. They were doing stuff for one of the plays they were putting on or something. Anyway, it was getting late. And one of the ladies in the church was one of her kids was still at the church and was old enough to drive and had their own vehicle. And she said, I'm going to go on home. Her husband was waiting at the house. And I said, okay, see you, and praise God and all that. And she left, and it was just a few minutes later, the Holy Spirit just impressed me that I needed to get in prayer for her right then. And I didn't know why, but I did. See, here's another example. The Lord just laid that on my heart, but I was sensitive enough to hear it. And it wasn't like 5-10 minutes after she left, she went down a street and somebody blew in front of her. And it really scared her, and it could have been a fatality as fast as that car was going, okay? And I believe When you listen and you obey, you do what the Lord tells you to do. I didn't really know what to pray. What do we do when we don't know what to pray for as we ought? You pray in the Spirit. Amen. And there was a burden that hit me to pray, and I just began to pray, and all of a sudden the burden lifted. Well, 2 days later, she gave that testimony at church. And I'm like, whoa, that's what that was about. It pays to listen, amen? So don't fill in the blanks when you start hearing from the Lord. He'll give you a word. He may not give you the entire picture. Turn over to the book of James. Book of James, and this is where we're going to center today. Last week I talked about don't fill in the blanks, remember? And we don't want to be guilty of doing that, trying to finish what the Lord has instructed you to do with and fill in those blanks with your ideas and your own human inclinations. It's amazing how it's always going to be something that you like to do when you fill in that blank. James chapter 4, look at verse 13. This is an interesting portion of Scripture. And some have not read this in light of what we're looking at today, but you're going to see it when we do. Verse 13, James 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. One version says we're going to start up a business and we're going to make some money. Look at verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What does ye know not mean? What? It means you don't know, right? You don't know. But here you are saying this is what we're going to do. You don't know what shall be on the morrow. In other words, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus said that in Matthew 6. For what is your life? It's even a vapor. One version reads, a mist. Appears for a little while. A little time and then vanishes away. On the timeline of eternity, your time here in this earth is a very brief spot, moment in time. Can you even measure it? That's why it said a mist. I mean, it appears and it's gone. That's interesting. For that you ought to say. Now, the Bible tells us that we should be saying this. You see that? And some people, especially in word churches, don't like to say, if God's willing. It's almost like, well, you know, I don't want to say that, if you're willing, Lord, if it be thy will. Well, you don't say that when you know the will of God. You only say that when you don't know the will of God. It's called a prayer of consecration or dedication or dedication. And but this is something they tells us we ought to say. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. A better rendition of that would be this. If the Lord wills for us to live this way, doing this or that, then so be it. But now, verse 16, you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Another version reads, you're caught up in your own inclinations. And you want God to bless your plan, and he has nothing to do with it. And he calls that evil. Therefore, to him that knows to do good, or in other words, heard the voice of the Lord, God alone with him, heard that rhema word, and doesn't do it, guess what? To him or to her, it is sin. So you see that portion there, especially verse 15, if the Lord will, we shall live. Does he not say, with long life I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation? Did he not say that I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly? It's not a question of whether or not he wants you to live. In the context of this verse and the subject that he's dealing with here, it's if the Lord wills for us to live this way, doing this thing that we've set out to do here in this place. If that's your will, then we're going to do it. And if not, we're not. Because if you know to do something else and you're doing this over here instead, you're in sin. And God does not bless sin. Never has and never will. Does that make that a little more clear? Your life is short. Listen to him. On the timeline of eternity, a long life here in this earth, 80, 90 years, 100 years, is short compared to eternity. It's nothing but a mist compared to eternity. That's what I'm saying there. And I believe that's what the word is pointing out here. It pays to listen. It pays to listen to what he tells us to do. Amen? So for those who've heard from the Lord and consequently know what he said to do, and they don't do it, to those people, it's sin. And now you have opened a can of worms that you will wish you hadn't opened. You know, I had a lady tell me one time, the Lord told me to come to Solid Rock Church. I said, well, praise God. Good. I think you can grow. I think you can learn the word. I think you'll get the uncompromised word. I know the preacher. He's, you know, he's going to preach the uncompromised word. Oh, ha, 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 ha. I was single at that time. And a little while later, we announced that we was a couple. Suddenly, the Lord told her to leave the church. Isn't that amazing? Be careful what you say the Lord told me to do. Was I supposed to be impressed by that? Oh, wow, whoa. No. I believe the Lord did tell her. I do. I believe that. I don't think the Lord's telling people not to come to this church. Because if you come here, you're going to get the word. And God's always interested in giving his people the word. Amen. And in an uncompromised way. I never want to offend anybody, but I'm also not going to pull any punches. And I think that's much easier to receive from somebody who you know is going to shoot you straight. I don't mean shoot you. I mean put it out there straight to you. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord. So, Paul, let's find an example of Paul praying that way, because Paul did pray that way in Acts chapter 18. Flip back over there quickly. Acts chapter 18. Sometimes Word of Faith folk, people that are in the Word and walking after the Word, they don't like that. If you're willing, God, they want to always know. Well, guess what? If the Lord told you, you'll know. But if he didn't told you, if he didn't tell you, you won't know. For you know not what shall be on the morrow, unless the Lord told you something about tomorrow. Now, I've had him do that already. But for the most part, I don't know. I can tell you something about tomorrow, though. Tomorrow's Monday. And in the morning, you got to get up. Isn't that wonderful? That's a heavy revy for you today. Amen. But see, any more than that, I kind of know what I do on Mondays. Every day I get up, I get into the Word. I go out and feed animals that show up in my yard. Did I tell you I had two bunnies the other day? I got one I feed, she comes. Now I go, here, bun. I walk in the woods this morning. Here, bun. I see her over on the other side. You know, it's all starting to clear out underneath now. Things are starting to stop their growth. And all of a sudden, here she is. She's probably from here to the back end of the hallway back there. Her ears perk up. She sees me. She comes running right up to me. Here you go. And I get down. I feed her out of my hand. She eats corn. Wild rabbit. It'll mess with me. I'm the rabbit man. He's a whisperer. So the other day, there was another rabbit there. I think it's her brother. Well, anyway, so about the same size. I mean, they're both full grown cottontail rabbits. And I'm here feeding this one. I see there, and I said, well, come here, honey. And I held this out and said, come on up here. You can eat, too. I've got some for you, too. And he's looking at her. He's looking at my hand. He's looking at her. He's about where Mama's at. All of a sudden, he comes trotting over, and I've got them both eating out of my hand. These are wild rabbits. How many of y'all do that? Anybody else do that in here? So we'll compare notes. This morning I walked up and there was a dove sitting on the pile where I feed them. And I got up to that dove from here to my chair. I said, well, I've got to put some feed down. He's looking at me. Well, some flies over here. I put the feed down, you know. You're weird, Pastor Dan. The animals loves me. They do. So here's Paul in chapter 18 of the book of Acts. Look at verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. I'm just jumping in. Where was he at? Was he in Athens at this time? In Corinth. Anyway, it's not important of exactly where he was. But so he tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn or shaved his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you. Look at the next three words. If God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Now, it tells me that he knew he was supposed to leave there, but he didn't know yet if the Lord would have him return. He wasn't going to make any promises. He said goodbye. And his prayer was, if God wills, I'll be here. If not, it'll be heaven when we see each other again. So that's okay. If you don't know the will of God, you can pray if God wills. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to be thinking along those lines and quit thinking we always know everything. And I speak for me too. If the Lord wants me to, it's not a matter of if the Lord wants me to stay healthy. We know that. It's not a matter if the Lord wants to save me. He's already done that. We know that. It's not a matter if he wants to prosper us financially. We know he wants to prosper us. How he wants those things to work out are where you pray, Lord, if it's your will, I'll do this. If you want me to do it, is that you, Lord? I want to obey you. There are those that take this prideful attitude in it. Anytime that a situation comes up, I've got this. I've got this. I'm faith man. I'm faith woman. I know how to apply the word. I got it. No, pride will always go before a fall. You better ask. You better get quiet. You better take some time to get the particulars from the Lord. Amen. A couple more verses quickly. Proverbs 16:25. Write it down. I'll just quote it to you. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way. But those same, that way, that pathway, it literally translates path in Hebrew, is a pathway to death. There's a way that seems right to a man. In other words, he concocted it. It's his inclination to do this. It'll end you up. End you up? Let's go with it. It'll end you up in trouble. Judges 21, verse 25 reads this way. In those days, there was no king in Israel. This is the very last verse in the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I think it's right. If you think it's right, you need to do it. If that's good for you, I've heard people say this kind of stuff. If that's good for you, well, I don't particularly agree with men marrying men, but if you think that's all right, go for it. What's the word say? What's the word say about that stuff? No, we can't. I'm not condemning the person. I'm not going to come down on the person. I'm still going to love the person. I'm just going to call sin, sin when I see it. It doesn't mean that you're God. You're not God. But too many people are falling for that thing today. We've got to love. Yes, you have to love everybody, but you don't have to love the activity they're involved in. And have the guts to say the Bible says you ought not to be doing that. He didn't create men to try to live with men. And women with women? What would happen to the human race if every woman married a woman? Every man a man? Yeah, it's disgusting. But still, but the fact is, people are doing that and calling it okay. Well, there are people that think it's okay to, on the weekend, go somewhere and hook up with a couple and get involved in stuff sexually that they shouldn't be. It's called swinging. There's people doing that stuff. Hey, man, don't come down on me. I think it's all right. Well, the Bible has something to say about that, too. You come along with this. Oh, everything's okay. Everything's, you know, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do. That's humanism in its purest sense. It's an idea that it's okay. You can love the person, but you can also say, you know, God loves you. But that's not the way God designed it to be. Who are you to say that? I'm one who reads his Bible and studies his Bible. When Jesus cast out spirits, the Bible says that he cast out unclean spirits. Do you remember that? You can find it, the word, all over the place where he took authority over that unclean spirit. Do you know what unclean spirit means? Unclean sexually and morally. I wrote an article one time, did Jesus ever minister or pray for homosexuals? And the fact of the matter is, yes, he did many, many times. He didn't condone it. He cast the spirits out that were messing with those folk. Look, I'm not going to condone anything that's outside of the Word of God. If we start going down that road where we've got to condone everything that people do, boy, that's a slippery slope. Some of you got to stand up for something or you'll end up falling for anything. I told a guy one time, I said, you're so open-minded, your brains have fallen out, for crying out loud, you're so open-minded. Good sense doesn't make good sense to you anymore. Everything's permissible. No, it's not. We still have a way to conduct our lives. Do you think some churches are saying AIDS is the result of God condemning homosexuality? No. God has already condemned that a long time ago in the Word. AIDS is a byproduct of men doing with men what they shouldn't be doing. We don't need to go into that. But it's true. God doesn't want people having AIDS. God doesn't want people doing that. He didn't create a man to copulate with a man. He didn't create a woman to do that with a woman. He created man for woman, woman for man. And there are no spare ribs. One man for one woman for one man. Amen. Spare ribs, where'd that come from? Anyway. See, God took a rib out of Adam and made him a woman. Well, you don't have another spare. He's going to make you another one so you can have two wives. You know, it's not going to work. Okay, let's look at a couple of things quickly. Write this down. And these are instances, accounts, when Jesus performed a miracle. The nobleman's son, John 4, verses 46 through 50. The miracle happened when Jesus said to the nobleman, go your way, your son lives, right? I'm not going to have you turn to any of these. You can write them down so you can go back and find them later. And they'll be on the internet tonight. What did the man have to do for that miracle to happen? Because at that moment, there was no miracle. What did the man have to do? Jesus said, go your way, your son lives. What did the man have to do? Go his way. Go back home. When he got home, he found the boy was all right. In John 5, verses 1 through 8, the man at the pool of Bethesda, you remember that? He was complaining that, every time the water stirs, the Bible said an angel came down, would stir the water, first person in the water, got healed. Every time I get ready to go, someone jumps in front of me. I don't have anybody to put me in there. Jesus told him, arise, take up your bed, and walk. Yeah, but I can't. That's why I'm here. If Jesus tells you, arise, take up your bed, and walk, he's only going to do what he hears the Father say. And the Father said, tell him to get up and walk. And if he'll obey, that word from Jesus was enabling for him to get up and walk. The manifestation of God's power comes when we obey what he says to do. When these people did what Jesus said to do, power was manifested. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, the man that was born of four, you remember, they tore up the roof, let him down. Jesus said, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." What happened after he told him that and the Pharisees got in a dispute about who can forgive sins? And I told you Jesus used a word for forgiveness, which was forgiveness from God to man, not the normal word that people would use from person to person. So they recognized that he was talking as God in the flesh. What did Jesus say to that man? "Arise, take up your bed and walk." What did the guy do? He got up, took up his bed and walked. Why? Jesus told him to do it. Jesus heard from the Father. Let me just interject this here. You can hear from the Father. Do you believe that? Do you actually believe you can hear from God? Here's the problem with a lot of Christians. They don't think they can hear from God. That's for you, Pastor. You hear, you tell us. Every one of you as born-again men and women, young and old alike, can hear the voice of the Lord and obey what he tells you to do. There's not a one of you in here that can't get quiet and hear from God. Some of the time, you've heard from God and you didn't even know you heard from God. Have you ever heard something and you just thought that was a really good idea and you stepped out and did it? Or you thought, "That's a kind thing. I think I ought to do that." You did it and something marvelous happened? Man. So rise, take up your bed and walk. How about Matthew chapter 12, verses 10 through 13, the man with the withered hand. What did Jesus tell him to do? "Stretch forth your hand." When he stretched forth his hand, he was healed instantly. He obeyed. What about the 10 lepers? Luke 17, verses 12 through 18. The 10 lepers. What did Jesus tell them to do? What did Jesus say to them to go do? Go show what? Yourself to the priest. And as they went, the Bible said they were healed. And one turned around and came back and gave glory. And Jesus said, "Were there not 10 of you? Where are the rest of these guys?" I always look at that and I think, how important it is to give God glory for something or you could lose it. It's not that God would take it from you, but it's important to praise God and address the source of the blessing that you've received. Amen. So that was in Luke 17, verses 12 through 18. Then we go into the book of Acts, and there are more of these, by the way. I'm just pulled out a few. The lame man that was at the gate beautiful, you remember that? Peter and John, what did they say to him? "Silver and gold have I none." In other words, what I have, silver and gold, that's not going to help you. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." That's in Acts 3, verses 1 through 8. The guy got up and walked. Peter was speaking to a man named Aeneas in Acts 9, verses 32 through 35. What did he say to Aeneas? "Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise." In other words, get up. He got up and walked. They listened to what Peter said. The man listened to what Peter and John told him. They were endeavoring to do the same thing. Hear from the Father and say it. And when they heard from the Father, they said it. The person obeyed and were healed. What makes you think it's not going to work the same way today? Well, it will. And it does. Last one, Paul in Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. You remember the lame man at Lystra? In his feet, he was lame. Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. What did he say? He said with a loud voice, "Stand up right on thy feet." The guy got up. Now, it's not just any act that you can do. Please stand up on your feet. How's that? No, I mean it. Stand up on your feet. You guys kind of lulled you into thinking. He said stand up right on thy feet a whole bunch. And you look at me like, oh, no. Yeah, stand up on your feet. There you go. It's not just any word that you or activity that you can do that will cause the power of God to be enacted. There was no power until they obeyed what he said. He got it from the Father. Peter and John got it from the Father. Paul got it from the Father. If you hear something from the Father and you do what the Father tells you to do, his power will back that up. People are not willing to believe that. That's a big problem. That'll stop the power of God from doing what he wants to do in your life. It's really pretty simple. You listen to him, you do what he says. Can I share that about your eyes? Radina recently had some headaches or like dizziness, felt nauseated. So she made an eye doctor appointment, went to the eye doctor. I said, I don't know what's going on. And anyway, he examined her eyes and he said, your eyes are perfectly well. You don't need your glasses anymore. Is that cool or what? Now, you might think, well, she's 10 years old. She grew out of it. Well, she's more than 10. Okay. She's a grown woman. Who gets the glory for that? God gets the glory. I think that is so cool. That just kind of slipped by, and there you are, you know. I'm like, yeah, I don't need the glasses at all. Now, she said she'll still use some to see the small print up close, but the long sight and all that? Thank you, Lord. That's miraculous, brothers and sisters. So what is the Lord trying to say to you today? What is he trying to tell you today? What is he trying to get across to you about your situation? Is there something he's trying to get across to you that he wants you to do that will be what will release God's anointing? Bow your head with me, let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you this moment in Jesus' name. We give you glory, thanksgiving, and honor in the name of Jesus for your power that resides on the inside of us. And you are as close as the mention of your name. You're right here in us. And we know all we need to do is listen to you and be in tune with you and do whatever you say to do. Put our desires aside and get along with you so you can get it across to us as intricate or simple as it may be. Simple. Or intricate, either or. But we're going to do what you say. And we'll pray in the Spirit, because that we're built up on our most holy faith. In the name of Jesus. Can I hear amen?